Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary of Magdala. Seeing his mother and the disciple he loved standing near her, Jesus said to his mother, "Woman, this is your son." Then to the disciple, "This is your mother." And from that moment, the disciple made a place for her in her home. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I really am going to start tonight by going to confession to you a little bit. I entered religious life when I was 28. It took me a while to figure out what I was going to do and where I was supposed to be. I was always fascinated with God, and I was always fascinated by people who had faith. And so when I entered when I was 28, I already had 2 degrees in theology. And here's my confession. I never understood the cross. I never really understood why Jesus, the Son of God, why God the Father, how they brought about redemption. I didn't understand really why it had to be the cross. Now, even at that young age and with 2 degrees in theology, I could have given you the answers out of the catechism perfectly. And I studied enough that I could pass the exams and I could tell you what the theologians said, but I really couldn't understand why that suffering, why that pain. God can do anything. Why can't God redeem us in an easier way? Now, I did understand that love only works with freedom, and to be free, you have to have choices, and with choices come consequences. I understood that. But the cross was difficult for me to understand. It wasn't until I had been in religious life for a pretty long time and they sent me to get another degree. A degree in another field other than theology. That I read a little book by a psychiatrist, a psychologist, both. He was the first of the kind, called Carl Jung. And the little book was called The Undiscovered Self. And in that book, I read literally 2 paragraphs, and I'm not exaggerating, I started to cry because immediately I finally understood the depths of God's love and why the cross. See, Carl Jung believed this. He said, most people in the world, particularly most Westerners, don't really understand the nature of relationships and love. He said that most people, when they think about love, think you have to be perfect. Think about it. When you're dating, you dress up. You put on good cologne. You hope that you're looking presentable and you're trying to say the smart things to win the affection of another. In the Western culture, we're taught that when we're negotiating, to negotiate from a place of power. We're told that we have to be perfect. That we have to look like we have everything under control. Carl Jung said, though, if we're perfect, if we have everything under control, then we can never let anyone into our lives because we don't need anything. And he said, actually, the very nature of all relationships is to become vulnerable enough to let another love you and become vulnerable enough to let them into your weakness where you need help. And then you form this bond. And when he said that, it was like, oh my golly. Whatever that first sin was of Adam and Eve, when we were one with God, somehow, some way, our first parents had this great idea that they were so much one with God, they thought they could be God. They thought they didn't need God, and they said to God, we want to go it on our own. We think we can do it by ourselves. And God said, I don't think that's a good idea, but I'm lovely enough and you're free enough to choose. And so they broke away from God And as soon as they broke away from God, they, us, we were broken. We were broken open. And it wasn't too far into that that they realized this really wasn't a good idea. And they tried to get back into God. But God is perfect. And there was no way to get back into God because God's perfect and we're broken. And if Carl Jung was right, it all started to make sense to me. And just like all these fans here, when you unplug a fan, the old ones look like this, when you unplug it, they don't stop for a while, they keep going. And so when we pulled away from the source of life, the very source of life, which is love, we kept going for a while until we, like all fans, eventually stopped and it led to death. This is where it's so amazing, and it's why it's so amazing tonight on this feast, that this is the gospel that Our Lady of Mount Carmel wants to look at. But God said, I'm going to love you so much, and I believe in you so much, and I desire you so much, I'll break myself open. At Mass, at the fraction rite, you notice? We break the body of Christ. God the Father said, I will break myself open. I will send you my Son. I will send my Son into human form to be like you in all things but sin. But that meant that God chose to become vulnerable. Long before the cross, think about it. Little baby Jesus, he needed his diapers changed. God, vulnerable. Little boy Jesus could run around with all the other kids and fall down and scrape his knees. Vulnerable. Adolescent Jesus had to deal with what all adolescents did, trying to fit in. Maybe even being ridiculed, feeling the emotional pain of being shunned. Vulnerable. And then this Jesus grew up to be a human being with all the problems and all the troubles that you and I and Mary had. He learned about human vulnerability from the inside out, being human. Until it even got worse. He knows what it's like to be judged. He knows what it's like to be bullied. He knows what it's like to have people accuse you falsely, and so he took it upon himself. He allowed all that to happen. He became a God of vulnerability. The all-powerful, almighty God became human. He became as weak as a human. And in the final act of the crucifixion, when the nails had been put in there, the crown of thorns had been on there, and the blood was dripping down his face, and as he could not get air, as he hung on the cross and literally suffocated, he felt the same pain every human being feels, no matter what the pain is. From a car accident, to a broken heart, to the loss of a loved one. He didn't need to do that. He chose to become weak with us. And in so doing, when he broke himself open, remember that line of scripture? It's amazing. I thirst. A very human thing. I have need. What God said is, I have need of my people. I love them so much. I created them. I have need of my people. And he said to us on that day, don't be afraid of me. Don't be worried about me judging you or not understanding you or not understanding your pains and your suffering. I am one with you. Come into me in your vulnerability. Come into my vulnerability and let's become one again. And I, Jesus, will take you back to the Father. On this last night of the parole, on this last night of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, this extraordinary gospel on a feast
of Our Lady, what she's saying to us is Jesus understands. It's easy to understand excitement. It's easy to understand joy. It's easy to understand emotional love. But Jesus says, I understand your pain. I understand your struggles. I understand your loneliness and your fears. And I've broken myself open so you can hide in me. And Mary, standing at the side of the cross, says to us tonight, now let him in. Let Jesus into your brokenness. Whatever your fears are, whatever your doubts are, whatever heaviness you carry in your heart, whatever your worries are, for the people that you love and you carry and you're worried about them, tonight, on the end of this great feast, Mary says, be vulnerable and let him in. Be vulnerable and let him in. For God, who was perfect, He came broken in humanity, our humanity, so we could crawl back in. Now, there's many different signs and kinds of intimacy. And in the world that we live in today, romantic intimacy is the one you always hear about. Those are the ones that Hallmark loves. Those are the great movies we go to. Everybody loves a happy ending. That love, as you know, can break. That love, as you know, can sometimes be fleeting. That love, you know, for all the marriages out there that have been married for a long time, that comes with scars too. But the love that is transformed through suffering and brokenness and vulnerability lasts forever, where it makes us whole, where we go back to God. I've worked in hospitals both as a psychologist and as a priest, and I've seen this. Now, I come from a tradition of, I'm Irish, couldn't tell, right? And we Irish folks, we don't handle emotions really well. At least in my family, we didn't handle them well at all. And I went to the hospital once, and my father was visiting his aunt, so my great aunt. And we walked in, and she was on a respirator. She could blink her eyes. She looked horrible. And my father walked up to her and said, Aunt May, you're looking great. You're going to be out of the hospital in a couple of days. And I'm a little kid looking at her thinking, oh my, I don't think so, right? We left the hospital room and I looked up at my dad and I grabbed his hand and I go, Dad, is Aunt May really okay? Oh no, son, she's dying. how's she going to leave the hospital in a couple of days? She's not going to leave the hospital in a couple of days. She'll probably be gone tonight. And I'm like, well, Dad, why'd you do that? Well, I didn't want to make her sad. But then when I started to work in a hospital as a chaplain, or when I was being there as a doctor, I remember this one couple. They hadn't been married very long. They asked me to go in with the husband who was going over to see his wife. And he went over and he grabbed her hand. He really bent down, kissed her, and they started to talk. First about how they just loved each other. Second about the kids. Third about how they were going to miss each other. About all the things that they wanted to do together that they couldn't. And the more that went on, I stood back and I saw that in their vulnerability, in this moment of entering into the pain and suffering, they were entering into God. And I knew right then and there God wouldn't drop them. That God would make sure that that love endured forever. And on the last day, God would raise them up. On this, the last night of the tribunal, on this, the actual feast of Our Lady of Marble, she says, here's what I want you to know. She says it, not Jack Butler. She says, our God loves us all.
Our God loves humanity. Our God comes to save us. That's the first thing she says to us. And then the second thing she says to us is, my son loves you individually. He loves you individually, and he knows your life. He really does. Trust him. Be open to him. And then the last thing she says to us tonight is, be vulnerable with him. As he became vulnerable for us so that we become one again with God, let him into your fears. Let him into your troubles. Let him into your brokenness. Let him into your struggles. And my friends, he will raise us up, and he will raise you up. That's the truest of all the natures of love. Love cannot be denied. Love cannot even be killed. It raises again. And if we are one with God, Mary says, we will rise again. My friends, you're loved. My friends, we are loved. And our God became vulnerable so that we can enter into him in our vulnerability, live with him.